Well, good evening. I hope everybody can hear me tonight. The title to my remarks tonight is Life's Path, Your Choice. And the Lord said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Proverbs 4 says, enter not into the path of the wicked, go not in the way of evil men. In Proverbs 4:18, I love this verse, but the path of the just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. Some people really don't care what path they're going down, long as it looks good and it's inviting. And certainly like to choose the broad path, because that's easy, living the path, the way of sin, and even walking in a traditional path is not much is required there. I'll just go the way my folks have gone. The Bible talks about the way, the truth, and the life. And so I want to talk about the two paths that are found in the Scripture, and it's found frequently. And you might ask yourself, well, which path are you walking on? The Bible talks about the path of sin and foolishness in the book of Proverbs. It also talks about the path of wisdom and righteousness. It talks about the path, the broad path and the narrow path. The Lord Jesus talked about that. The many and the few on the broad path and the narrow path. There certainly is the path of darkness and sin and the path of light, the path of deceit and the path of truth, the path of disobedience and the path of obedience, the path of the flesh and the path of the spirit, and for many anyway, the path of turmoil and strife and the path of peace. The path of the ungodly and the path of the godly, and that's in Psalms 1. The path of the wicked and a path of holiness. The path of rebellion and also a path of submission. The path of the old man and all of his deeds. The path of a new man renewed in knowledge by the Lord. Well, those are just some examples from the Scriptures. There are probably more that could be given. And by all means, give them to me if you can think of some. We were in, a lot of times if we do ministry on the weekend, come Sunday or Monday morning, we are tired. We've taken a trip, we've gone off to a meeting, and we come back really tired. And I say, dear, we're going out to breakfast. We like to go to this place called the Cafe. And a beautiful girl in her 20s, she's waited on us a number of times, and she told us, her name was Katie, and she told us her story. She planned to move to Texas and move in with her boyfriend. He was an electrical engineer, and so she was going down there. Her mom and her dad were going to help her pack up things. And, you know, her dad told the young man that was wrong. If he wanted his daughter, he ought to marry his daughter and man up and be the man. What would you say to Kate? Well, I'm forever trying to be the diplomat. You know, I didn't think I should go ahead and say, you know, God doesn't approve of what you're about to do. And if you're going to enter into that, why not get into it with a covenant? And you lose honor and respect from your family and friends. What does your mom and dad think of that? What do your grandparents think of that? You know, Kate, your conscience is going to bother you when you go down that path. You might even have a baby. And, Kate, don't you want security and safety? Don't you want to feel significant that somebody's going to take care of you the right way? You know, a God-honoring wedding is something that everybody can rejoice in. The other path will just lead to sorrow and shame. And there's also the strong possibility that this man may get tired of you and just treat you like a styrofoam cup and be done with you when he's done. And by the way, the ties that bind work. And because of love, they work with a sense of security. We've been married 48 years and it does bind. I didn't say any of that. I was thinking some of that. But I said, Kate, do you get to decorate that place? She was very attractive girl, dressed very nice. And she said, yes, I get to decorate the apartment. And she began to share all the things that she was going to do to make this a very attractive place. And then a verse popped in. And I often pray. I say, Lord, help me to say something that's worth listening to. So I said, you know, Kate, do you know what King Solomon said about how we decorate a house? And she said, well, tell me. And I said, here's what he wrote. By wisdom, a house is built. By understanding, it's established. By knowledge, the rooms are filled with all precious and pleasant riches. That's in Proverbs 24. My wife just couldn't be silent. She said, Kate, to do that, you need to know what this says in the Bible. And there are beautiful things that God would have for you that don't need changing. They're going to last forever. Well, she kind of sputtered a little bit. And I said, Kate, you know, I've had a lot of interaction, even with my kids, about what they were going to do. And I always gave them these three guidelines. You know, as they became young adults, I said, you can do anything you want to. They love to hear that. You can do anything you want to, as long as it's for the glory of God and for the blessing of your neighbor and your own personal good. And just go ahead and do it. So, she served us, but she was a little tight-lipped. And I don't know where she went, but you know, by wisdom a house is built. And there is a path to walk down. And if you go down the other path, you know, you certainly are more likely, when over close to 50% of them don't work out, it's not a good start, is it, for something that should be sacred, something that should be protected. We heard that this morning. Well, we're going to read Proverbs 4. When I do this, let me just say this. I want you to listen to Johnny Cash tonight. If you want me to leave right away, that's okay. But it's just a little clip, because I'm going to take some of these lyrics and use it in this message. So if you want to give us that, guys, that'll be fine. Well, my wife was telling Scott today that my taste for music and hers are in different direction. And now I get a little catch of it anyway. What do you think, guys? It's not going to work. Well, here's what Johnny wrote. I'll walk the line because you're mine. I'll keep my eyes wide open all the time. I'll keep a close guard on this heart of mine. I say yes to the ties that bind. Not too bad for Mr. Cash. And I think he referred that to his wife. But it's an important thing to get on the right path, isn't it? Well, let's look in Proverbs 4. And we're going to read a little bit from the Word of God here about staying on the right path. Proverbs chapter 4. Hear, my children, the instruction of a father. Give attention to no understanding. I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was a father's son, tender and only son in the sight of my mother, he taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words. Keep my commandments and live. Get wisdom. Get understanding. Don't forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her, and she will preserve you. Love her, she'll keep you. Wisdom is a principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom in all you're getting. Get understanding. Exalt her, she'll promote you. Bring you honor when you embrace her. She'll place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. She will deliver you. Hear, my son, and receive my saying, and the years of your life will be many. I've taught you in the way of wisdom. I've led you in the right paths. When you walk, your steps will not be hindered. When you run, you will not stumble. Take firm hold of instruction. Don't let go of her. Keep her. She's your life. Do not enter the path of the wicked. Do not walk in the way of evil. Avoid it. Do not travel on it. Turn away from it. Pass on. For they do not sleep unless they've done evil. And their sleep is taken away unless they've made someone fall. For they eat the bread of wickedness, drink the wine of violence. Verse 18. But the path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. Well, staying on the right path, you know, it's a path that God has laid out for us, and it's a path of wisdom and righteousness, not that path of sin and foolishness. And when we do that, we're to avoid bad company. Verse 19, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They don't know what makes them stumble. Well, they're walking in the dark. And the Lord said, if you walk in the dark, you're going to stumble. So they do stumble, and they cause others to stumble. Verses 10 through 19 talk about what the wicked are like. And indeed, I can say this, that bad company will lead you astray. Evil communications corrupt good manners. If you have the wrong friends, this is one of the chief reasons kids that attend Emmaus get off the path and have problems, disciplinary problems, because of their associations. That's what I've been told. And then keep a watch on yourself. Your eyes are wide open. And verse 20, my son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart. You know, the word of God actually helps you see a lot better. You get to see the road. You know what's important. And you choose to walk down that road and choose to do the right thing. Verse 23 is a favorite verse in this chapter. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. A lot of things happen in the heart, the very core of who you are. And what happens? Well, it's like a garden. You know, faith takes root in the heart. The Lord speaks to us, and we trust him, and then we have love for him that grows, and hope blooms as well. And our mind becomes a place where the Lord works and plants those seeds that enrich us and enable us to walk for him. We have growth that's sustained. And ultimately, out of that heart that is connected to the Lord, there's a fragrance that's sweet and attractive for somebody else. So verse 26, here's what it says. Ponder or consider the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Well, that's a good verse. It is. Consider the path of your feet. Look out where you're going. You don't have to go. You don't have. Proverbs was written in part so that you would have skill in living life. You do not have to make the same miserable mistakes that others have. Just don't have to do that. What are the hazards on this path? Well, I watched a news clip once, and a guy from Iraq, a military guy, was talking to his family. He said, Joe, little Joe, watch your associations. Don't let that bad company lead you astray. That's what he said. That was his word from the other side of the world. And don't let, little Joe, don't let the bad company lead you astray. Problems for many today are because of the people that they're with. And once somebody goes down the road and they're like sheep, everybody goes with them. Chapter 5, you know, Proverbs, I think, has at least a dozen times it talks about solicitation to evil from an evil woman. Only a few times about the virtuous, godly woman. But certainly the men and the women in this world need to be warned. And Proverbs 5, outlines for us just how attractive sin can become. It's short term, and if you don't have criteria, you can be taken down that road. It looks attractive. I used to be a trapper. when I was a boy on the farm. And my dad said, you could never trap a mink. He said, he didn't say I wasn't smart enough, and I really wasn't in a lot of ways. But I found I did some reading on how to trap mink. And once I caught one, he thought it had to be blind. But it was a legitimate mink, and here's how we did it. We had to disguise our trap and disguise our scent. So I'd boil the trap in leaves in a bucket. Then I would put those traps out along a bank right on the edge of the stream there, and I would take something. I never ate a sardine in my life, but I'd use these sardines and the sardine oil, and I'd put a little bit of that along that bank, and I'd put a stick out there, and I'd put a little sardine on that. You know, that mink would come along and smell that. Doesn't sound that brutal? I'd catch a mink, and I'd make $40. And for a boy back in the late 50s, early, that was a lot of money. Trapped. That mink didn't know what was coming, but it just followed its nose, and it ended up as a pelt. What's so easy? Enticement to lust. And a lot of times we just lack wisdom. You know, what was my wisdom level when I was 18 years old? Oh, boy. I don't think it was very high, you know, on a scale of 1 to 10. I had a lot to learn. Although I was a Christian and I was reading my Bible, that made me a lot smarter than a lot of others. I appreciated Paul's song, One Desire. Boy, that fixes it, doesn't it? Give me a desire. He'll give you the desire of your hearts. Well, make your desire the Lord himself. Proverbs 12:15, fools think their own way is right, but the wise will listen to others. You know, it's so good to have a mom and a dad who will instruct you, other leaders in your fellowship, other Christians who help you go on, choose to go down the right path. And we need that, don't we? Because we lack wisdom. And that we want to trust and honor God. We talked about Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He'll direct your paths. And the word here is acknowledge him. I'll just focus on that tonight. When we say, Lord, in my decisions and where I'm going to acknowledge you. I'm not going to acknowledge myself, my sin. I'm acknowledging you. And he has promised to direct your path. I will trust you, Lord, and I'll let you direct me. You know, I've talked to a lot of men who are young guys they're dealing with some bondage, with sin. And here's a little profile of the downward path of sin. See what you think of this. A lot of times these young men get in trouble because they reject authority. They reject the authority of the Word of God, their parents and other leaders in their life. Sometimes they're coaches, but they reject authority. Then they experience something called alienation. There seems to be, their relationship seems to be going apart, and things don't go as well at home. They don't go as well with school authority and their coaches, but they experience something called a moving away, the hostility that comes because we're not on the right path. Alienation follows. And after that, Proverbs talks about foolishness, just foolishness and lack of reverence, often lack of respect for those things that God would have you respect. They don't respect law. They don't respect authority. They don't respect what mom and dad say. They certainly don't respect the Word of God. And a lot of times they don't respect themselves. And ultimately, that leads them down the wrong path. So rejecting authority, alienation, foolishness, lack of reverence, then they have something called enslavement or domination. Whoever commits sin is a servant of sin. And, you know, we've talked to young men, and they find that they're addicted. I don't believe they're addicted, but they've developed some habits, and they just can't let go of it. Sometimes it's drinking. Sometimes it's pornography. There are other things that just take them away from God and, in a sense, have them enslaved. And from this business of being dominate it, I think they get this feeling of being incapacitated, out of control. They're not managing their life very well anymore. They don't seem to have the power, the wherewithal to do it. And if you have that, I've had some guys just say, can you help me? And we've spent some time with them over time to help them. And if you get stuck, go get somebody who can help you, who will walk with you, who will help you get out of that path. But after that, after just feeling incapacitated, maybe hardened because of what your choice is, then you reach a point where you're, where somebody else chooses something. You have consequences. Young man, his end. They have trouble with the law. They get kicked off of an athletic team. You know, they've lost their job. They've had their second drunk driving arrest. And the consequences, painful, expensive. Do you have to learn that way? You know, my dad felt that I needed to learn a few lessons out in the woodshed. And I frankly didn't like that at all. But I can say this, he got my attention. And I was more thoughtful and I listened more respectfully. You know, and so you don't have to go down there and experience the hardness that comes by living your own consequences. And so what happens ultimately is that you're lost. Now, I've been lost two times. One time I was hunting in southern Iowa. And I was hunting on a piece of property that I was not familiar with. It was hilly and woody, and at the end of the day, I was really tired. We were a group of us, and so this man told me, he said, just head off through this woods, and about 100 yards or so, go off to the left, and you'll be out, and you'll just circle around and come right back to the farm. Well, it didn't quite work. It was getting dark. And I think I walked for about an hour or so until I finally came to a railroad track. Then I could see clear off in the distance a little light. So I went down the railroad track, and the closer I got to this little house that was down in this hollow, there was a big old big coon dog on the porch that was just baying at me, and I was just wringing wet with perspiration. Had all my hunting gear and my gun. And I came down, and this guy came out, and he said, who are you? And it was a little bit of hillbillies down in southern Iowa. He said, you all come on in here. And I said, I've been hunting over on the Beale farm. I'm lost. He said, you're not too far lost. Come on in here. So I went into that house, and his wife was in the back, or his mother was in the back bedroom. He was in his 60s, and she was 80-something. And she said, Leroy, he's got a gun. I said, I'm unloading it. And then I was jacking the shells out, and she said, oh, my, we're all going to die. So we're in there, and it was really quite the night. And then Leroy said to me, he said, you know, I got this lump on my leg. A pig ran into it. Would you rub it for me? And I said, well, if you take me over to the Beale farm, you've got your leg fixed. So I'll rub your leg for you. And I said, what are you going to do tonight, Leroy? And he said, well, I'm going to go gamble a little bit uptown with some of the boys. I said, oh, you are? And I said to him, well, I just thought, well, it's time to talk. I said, Leroy, you know, this is the second time I've been lost. He said, you've been lost before? I said, yeah, I was lost before. He said, when were you lost? I said, when I sensed that I was a guilty sinner on my way to hell. That I had no hope in ever finding my own way, that I was a rebel against God, that I'd left God out of my life, and that I needed to be saved. That's when I sensed deeply how lost and how undone I was. He was pretty quiet. He said, we're not going to gamble for much. Just Nick. It was a good night. Truly, truly, I say unto you, whoever commits sin is a servant of sin, a slave of sin, not a good master. There are lots of benefits to wisdom. And the Lord paints for us the benefits of making the right choices. Wonderful benefits. Verse 9 of chapter 4, I don't know if you caught this, but here's what it says. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory. Verse 8, she will bring you honor when you embrace her. When you embrace wisdom, God will bring honor in your life. What woman or young girl wouldn't want a prince? She wants a hero, not a heel. She wants somebody that she can respect. We talked about Love and Respect, that film series. You know, young men, if they figured out, they do the right thing, they're noble, they're true, they treat that girl like a special treasure. Scott was talking about that. Their mom and daddy, their grandpa and grandma will think that you're a prince. You know, we're all sinners saved by grace, but that's what God wants. You know, he wants us to have honor. The Lord brings honor into our life when we choose the path of righteousness. And so that's one of the benefits of wisdom. Another benefit of wisdom is just guidance. Verse 11, here's what it says. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I've led you in right paths. It is so good. There's so many times. How many kids cheat on tests today? Well, it's epidemic. But you're in a college course. Do you need to go copy somebody's paper? Or are you going to give them your work? I'll choose the way of wisdom. I'm going to go with my work. Even if I need some remedial help on what I turn in, I'm going to go on my way. I'm going to learn. And then in verse 10, it says this: hear, my son, and receive my saying, and the years of your life will be many. Now, you wouldn't believe this, but I've gone to my 50th high school reunion. And the young people are old people now. In fact, I looked around, I said, this place is filled with old people. Why am I here? And they're old, and you can see the ravages of sin. And wives that didn't stay with them, and bodies that were broken, and in wheelchairs, just because of their reckless, wild, untamed living. And they had reaped the consequences. That's the law of the harvest. The law of the harvest is simply this: you reap what you sow. Can't get away from that. And then light. I love verse 18 of chapter 4. And here it is. The path of the just is like the shining sun that shines ever brighter unto the perfect day. As a young believer, when you trust the Lord Jesus, you can have the light of youth. The Bible makes you so much smarter than everyone else. You know, the Lord, in his wisdom, will show you this is the right way, you go down it. And then the light and strength of the noontime sun is yours as an adult. And then as the time fades, you just don't fade off into the sunshine. But as you get older, it gets brighter and brighter. Isn't that the way it should be? That the Lord becomes more of a reality to you, and he floods your head and your heart with light. May that be true. That's the path of the just. A good one to get on. Sweeter as the years go by. I would just say I really have enjoyed the music too. And the songs, wow, they're just so God-edifying, so encouraging. Sweeter as the years go by, Jesus' love is sweeter. Richer, fuller, deeper, Jesus' love is sweeter. I think of young Joseph making some choices as he went down and lived life. Why did he choose the straight and narrow? You know, he was on his own. How did he do that? What was he thinking? Well, here's what I think. He had communion with his father was guaranteed. That's how we saw him in his early life. He knew the father's heart. Psalm 16 and verse 8, I've set the Lord always before me. Because he's at my right hand, I shall not be moved. You know, we've had some great athletes that I've been associated with, and young men and women who determined, before they get on a team with a lot of different people, they determined to walk the right way, determined to be a testimony for the Lord. And Joseph, I think he did that because he had communion with his father. He communed with his father in terms of the Father God. That's what we do. We're in fellowship with him. We're walking in his light. He also had a sense of destiny. You know, he had those visions, didn't he? God was going to use him. And young person, this world needs godly men and women The Lord will use you as part of His great army of kingdom builders. He can use you, your heart, your strength, your talent, but He wants to use a clean vessel, right? Who wants to eat out of a garbage can? He wants a clean vessel for His name's sake. So that sense of destiny, God has a purpose for my life. He's going to live His life through me. And then he had a God-centered mind. Every time he got in trouble, as we read the book of Genesis, he mentions God. Isn't that interesting? You know, his God focus in his life. And Colossians 3, if you then be risen with Christ, set your mind on things above, where Christ sitteth at the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above. Set your affections on the Lord. Make it your one desire to please him. And then he chose the path of wisdom and righteousness. And the Lord just gave him more problems. He put him in charge of all of Egypt. So he had all kinds of problems then, but he was helping somebody else. You know, by our deeds, by our walk, and something that people can't see, by our thinking and what's in our heart, will determine how we go down that road. And I'm so thankful that Jesus has made it so simple. He said to you and to me, he told his disciples, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I'll come again and receive you unto myself. Thomas said, we don't know where you're going, and how can we know the way? Jesus simply said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Do you like that? That is pretty clear, pretty simple. I'm the way. Jesus is the way to God because he's the truth from God. He's the life from God. He's the truth because he embodies all that God is, all of the revelation of God. He is the life because he came from heaven as the Son of God, and he imparts divine life. Jesus didn't come to show us the way. He is the way. Salvation is in a person. And then if we accept that person as our Savior, we have the way, the truth, and the life for life. Christianity is Christ. The Lord Jesus is not just one of many ways. He is the way. There is no other way. How can I be saved? Mr. Phillips wrote, well, Jesus said, I'm the way. How can I be sure? Well, Jesus said, I'm the truth. How can I be satisfied? Jesus said, I'm the life. I understand there's a maze, and we have corn mazes, and we take our young people. We do a lot of fun things in Iowa. We get into the corn mazes, and we wander around, a lot of screaming, and, you know, you get lost on this path, and it goes this way. And people get frustrated out there and just trying to find their way out of the maze, find their way to the center, and then go out. Well, in England, I guess there's one complex maze that you can go and go. And it's fun, it's complex, but if you get so frustrated, you don't want to go anymore, there's places where you can go and just ring a bell. And when you ring the bell, you're given up, and here comes someone, a man, a person, a man or a woman, and they will take you out of the maze. So a person, a man, becomes the way out of this complex interlocking roads and paths. A little bit like driving in New Jersey. It didn't take me long to get lost there, and I was deeply lost. So, Psalms 119, verse 59 and 60, I love these verses. I thought on my ways, and I turned my feet unto thy testimonies. I made haste and delayed not to keep thy commandments. Joshua 24, if it seems evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Doesn't that describe a path? I've chosen to go down that road. Every once in a while, a youngster really gets stuck. A lot of people get stuck. And I have a nephew down in Louisiana. And he does a lot of things, but he's a mechanic as well. And he has a big, ugly Chevy Blazer, huge thing. He has a big wench on that thing. And people call him in the middle of the night. They have to pay for it. And they say, hey, we've been mud running, and we are stuck. We're out here in the muck and the mire, and this thing is stuck, big time stuck. Can you help it? It's 1 o'clock in the morning. He said, it's going to cost you, but I'm coming. He said, and actually he said, Bill, I can do it on two conditions. One, I have to keep my truck on higher ground and stable ground. And two, my cable has to reach. And I said, do I have a message for you? You know, if we want to be rescued from the muck and mire of this world, we need someone who's higher on higher stable ground. That's the Lord himself. And by the way, his cable always reaches down to pull us out of the muck and the mire. And so we read in Psalms 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock and established my going. And then he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and trust the Lord. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud or turn aside to lies. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know the Lord has rescued you. You don't have to be in the muck and the mire. And that's what I tell people, too. If you're in the muck and the mire, the Lord can pull you out, get you out of there. And then, you know, you get out, you get cleaned up, and you want to sing. You want to sing about someone who delivered you from that. And I've had I have friends in low places and in high places. And I have one who spent time in jail. And he's a good friend. And, you know, he's happy that he knows the Lord Jesus as his Savior. Got pulled out of the muck and the mire. The good news is that when we walk in the light, we have the light of the Lord Jesus for all of life. And here's a verse. We're going to close here. I'll tell you two stories. I will close with a verse, but I want to just give it a preface. By the choices we make so far in life, we've chosen a path. You may say all the right words, may act like you're on the right path, but in your heart of hearts, where are you going? What path are you on? The path of sin and foolishness or the path of wisdom and righteousness? What path would your family say you're on? What path would your friends say you're on? And to be honest, what path are you on? A lot of us choose differently, but down the road, we have to live with the consequences of that choice. And our path will end, and so to speak, we're writing our own yearbook. And at the end of it, it'll be in the book, the record's in the book. And I'm going to tell you about two different people who chose different paths. My daughter Kim, when she was in residency, she had a residency first year out. She said, don't ever go to a resident first year out. They don't know anything. But she was assigned Methodist Hospital and the Veterans Hospital. She had a sad thing when she was in the Veterans Hospital. Here was a man in his early 40s who was dying. He had just consumed alcohol, and his liver was shot. His head was affected, and his mom and his dad were weeping. And Kim had the responsibility to take care of him, and he died on her watch. And she stood there with such parents that were so crushed by where this guy had gone. See, he was addicted. And what he started with pleasure had a hold of him. It was consuming him. And there were nurses around and these other young doctors and aides. And Kim said, let's pray. And I was happy for that. She prayed and she said, Lord, you know, we don't always make the right choices. I wasn't there, but she told me. But she said, we're thankful that you're here. We're thankful that you're here for all of these people here, that you died to make it possible for us to know you. And so we're thankful for that today. We're thankful that you can bring good news into our life and comfort because you're real. And you've provided for us, even in our hardest moments, our hardest times, and just help these parents today. Something like that, I think. So here was a guy whose life ended early. And the wages of sin is death, isn't it? Painful. I came on this grounds, and I haven't been here for a long time. And I know some kids that have worked down here that worked with my my kids. And I get up in the morning. I told you I get up at 5 o'clock. And that's my farm boy. It's so annoying. You know, Carol isn't like, and I get out this little pin light, and I've laid everything out so I don't disturb her, and I tiptoe out like a big mouse and get out of there and not wake her up. But, you know, I can't get out of her room without looking at a verse of Scripture that was needle-pointed by a girl that was in this camp. And so I'll read that to you. This girl needle-pointed this Scripture. Her name was Lorraine Darwin. Her name is Lorraine Darwin. And she is the darling. We call her Granger. And she had needle-pointed this for me. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might, according to His glorious power, for all patience and long-suffering with joy, giving thanks to the Father. So every morning I read what Lorraine, that gift that she gave us with my little pen light. And I know the verse now, but I do that. And I think, well, what a life she's lived. She's been a godly woman. She's led the girls' camp here at Turkey Hill. She's a math teacher of the year a couple of years ago in the state of Arkansas. She's invested in the lives of many. She's a giver. She's choosing the right path, and she's leading others in that path. Her mom and dad, I don't know if they've ever trusted Christ. When I knew her, they didn't. They didn't know the Lord. But she made a choice in life, and it's made her faithful to the Lord. It's made her wise. It's made her influential. It's made her a woman that pleases God. Oh, by the way, anybody that's around 40 that needs a good wife, Lorraine, I'd ever just pass that on. Well, young people, our heart cries for you. We don't want any of you to go down the wrong path. We don't want any of you to be lost to the evil one. We want you to make good choices. You choose the Lord Jesus and be, there's so many ways, I didn't talk about it, but so many ways that the Lord has encouragement to keep you on the path and to do the right thing. Let's pray. Father, we confess tonight that we are like sheep, so easy to go astray, so easy to lose our way. We're thankful, Lord, that you made it so plain for us, that you're the way, the truth, and the life. We thank you, Father, for giving us the good news of the gospel. And we pray, Lord, that we would live in the light of that gospel day by day, that we would walk worthy of the gospel of Christ. We would walk in that way that would please you. We'd choose the path of righteousness and wisdom, and we'd say no to the path of foolishness and sin. Thank you for all that are here tonight, Lord. We thank you that ultimately our path will lead to the celestial city, and in a world that's getting increasingly evil and corrupt and dark, we pray, Lord Jesus, even so come, Lord Jesus, we pray. And until that time, help us to be faithful. We pray for Lorraine tonight. We don't know what she's doing or where she's at, but how we thank you, Lord, for her life and testimony. We commit her to your care. We commit each other to your care, and we're so thankful for Mrs. Rockhold, too, and her recovery. We just give you thanks for your mercy in that situation. Give us a good night, Lord, we pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.